Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI. This is the Smart Passive Income Podcast with Pat Flynn, session number 183. This is the first instrument I ever played. It's not bad. That's a recorder, by the way.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host, he listens to pop songs while washing the dishes, Pat Flynn.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. Ditch the busy work, use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And in the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. You can get unparalleled access to job seekers with over 350 million unique visitors globally, according to Indeed data, and an extended reach through Glassdoor. I love how adaptable Indeed is, and it's just your all-in-one hiring platform. You can do everything on there, interviews, messaging. There's nothing else that you need. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/smartpassive. Just go to Indeed.com/smartpassive right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/smartpassive. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Hey, and real quick, our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you haven't tried a sit/stand desk before, this offer from Uplift is the perfect opportunity. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. A desk should fit the user, right? Which is exactly why Uplift Desk has a ton of customization options. They're stable, the materials are solid. I mean, just the choices of material alone are incredible, all the way from laminate to eco to bamboo and even solid wood. The option to stand while working is just healthier, better circulation, better movement, which helps to reduce all kinds of different health risks and repetitive strains. And over 1 million customers have chosen Uplift Desk for their innovative designs, direct to consumer pricing, same day shipping. They can even give you free accessories with every desk. Uplift is a great deal, and they're built to last and include an industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that as well. So go to UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's UpliftDesk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order. What's up, everybody? Yes, that was me playing the recorder earlier. I was recording myself playing the recorder, which is kind of weird. But anyway, my son found it in the garage and we played it for a while and he was playing it. It was kind of cool, actually. You know, music has always been a part of my life. I feel like it's very important to have. And today we're talking with Julian Bradley, who has a master's degree in music. And he's turned that knowledge into a very successful online business career. And it wasn't a very, it wasn't an easy task for him. It was a pretty, it was a very rocky road getting started, and he had a lot of things happen to kind of make sure that he had to keep pushing forward to succeed. And we'll talk about those things in this episode. This is an SPI listener success story. Julian had listened to the podcast before. He's a fan of the show and a fan of the blog, and somebody very much in your shoes. So hopefully this will inspire you. I know a lot of you prefer these types of episodes where it is somebody like you who has gone through the journey. And we'll be having more of these types of episodes in the future as well, just because I know you guys resonate with them very well. And a lot of you take action more based off of what you heard other people do as opposed to the experts. So I definitely am paying attention to what you like. I love hearing about what you like and dislike. That's how I know that I'm doing a good job or what I can do to do better. And let's get right into it. This is Julian Bradley from themusicalear.com. Or you can check him out on YouTube at youtube.com/jazztutorial. There he is, Julian Bradley. Hey, what's up, everybody? Pat Flynn here, and I am chatting with Julian Bradley. He has an amazing success story to share with you. But first of all, Julian, welcome to the SPI podcast. How are you?
Thanks, Pat. I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me on.
Absolutely. Now, you've shared a really cool and very, very interesting success story with me when you first contacted me a while back. And I would love for you to share that story. And then we'll dig deeper into what's working for you now and your business model and all that stuff. But kind of start from the beginning. Like, what were you doing before you got into all this online stuff?
Sure. Well, I my background's in music. I'm a jazz piano player and a composer. I studied music at undergrad and postgrad, and pretty much I just did my master's degree. And then after that, that's pretty much when I started getting into online business. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I did have a year out, like after the master's, where I was trying various different things, you know, internships at a record label.
Right.
Working at a theater with audio and stuff. But ultimately, it was the online stuff that eventually stuck.
Now, I've done jazz before. Jazz is awesome. It's also very hard. But I was in a couple jazz bands back in my day playing the trumpet. So I had a lot of fun with that. So that's really cool. I love music. And so I'm curious, from the time you did undergrad and then graduate, like what was it? Like what caught your attention in terms of this online space? And then how did you kind of put what you learned into that?
Sure. I mean, I sort of stumbled upon it. I mean, I didn't really intend to become an entrepreneur or start my own business. I was sort of forced into it when I emigrated to the US. Mm-hmm. So I'm from the UK originally, but I now actually live in Los Angeles. And basically, I'd been dating a girl from the US for several years. Ultimately, we decided to get married. I was approved for a fiancé visa, which allowed me to come into the US, and we got married back in September 2011. And ultimately, thing is, after you get married, you can't work straight away. So I had to wait an additional 5 months for my green card.
Oh, wow.
Basically, that put a lot of pressure on us. We both just moved to LA. Neither of us had jobs. I was basically starting again from scratch. You know, I had zero credit score, mm-hmm. No contacts here. Even had to learn to drive on the other side of the road. You know, everything was just having to start again. But the fact that I couldn't work in the first 5 months really forced me to find an alternative way to make money. Mm. So I'd started a YouTube channel before I came to the US. It was really simple. It was basically just 3 jazz piano lessons, which I'd uploaded to YouTube. But I noticed that the videos in the channel was getting subscribers. And that's when I started looking online for ways to monetize a YouTube channel. And that's when I found you, Pat. I read your eBooks The Smart Way. Excellent, excellent book, by the way. That taught me everything I needed to know how to create my first eBook.
Thank you.
So I took your advice, made an eBook, and I started promoting it at the end of videos. So I'd keep making these free jazz lessons.
Nice.
And at the end, I'd promote this eBook that I sort of put out on a website.
What was the ebook called?
It was called The Jazz Hero Collector's Edition.
Ooh.
It wasn't a written ebook. It was actually several jazz piano compositions that I'd written.
Oh, cool.
and it came with some backing tracks and everything. So yeah, that ebook did okay. It started selling, and it certainly got us through several months during that time. However, it wasn't quite enough, and ultimately there were several bills which were building up, and you know, I delayed paying them as much as I could. But there came a point where some of these bills were going to go to collections, which is really serious.
Right.
And basically, I found myself having to raise $4,000 in a 2-week period. So I had a 2-week deadline to come up with something.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's when I decided to write a second ebook, and I basically committed to it. It took me 10 days. I wrote a complete book on jazz theory, called it Jazz Theory Explained Once and For All. And it was over 100 pages, images, everything. And then I just, you know, with 3 days to spare, I just created a simple WordPress sales page. And then I just sent out an email to my list of previous buyers from the first book. It was about 1,000 emails at the time. And yeah, I would have been so happy if it just made $4,000 or anything close to that. That's what I was praying for.
Mm-hmm.
However, within 2 hours of sending out that email, it had already made $4,000.
Wow.
The next day, I sent out another email. And then on the Friday, I sent out a final email with a deadline for this promo code. And by the end of that launch, it had done $12,000. And basically, that's how my business got launched. So I never intended to be an entrepreneur or start my own business, but I was basically forced into it because of this immigration situation.
Wow. See, I told you guys, that was pretty incredible. It took us a couple of minutes to get there, but wow. Okay, so you had this deadline. Yeah. And you created, like, was there any, I mean, you built this list. I mean, I think that was a saving grace here, was this email list that you bought. And I can't stress enough, everybody out there, you have to have an email list. And I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs who don't even have one, even when they're just starting out. And it's this is why you have it. Because when you build that list, especially with a relationship that you're creating with people on YouTube and you're getting people into these products and, you know, they're existing customers already. And then you have this other list. This is fantastic. This is exactly what we want to happen. What were your thoughts were when you had surpassed your sort of $4,000 goal and things just kept rolling?
Just completely blew me away. I mean, usually you have expectations, but usually the reality doesn't reach that expectation. But in this case, it exceeded it, which doesn't happen that often. Yeah, it completely blew me away. Also, with the email list that you just mentioned, I didn't actually realize I had an email list, but luckily, eJunkie saves the emails of everyone who's bought from you in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily, I discovered that you know, I could send out an email. And yeah, I'm just really grateful to eJunkie that they keep those emails, because otherwise, this wouldn't have worked out.
That's great. Yeah, eJunkie is what I use to launch my ebook too. Back in the day, that's what's mentioned in eBooks the Smart Way. I also use Gumroad.com now to deliver a lot of the electronic eBooks and things like that, which also hold those emails and you can send through those platforms as well. So that's awesome. That's fantastic. Now, why do you think this worked for you? I think a lot of people could write an ebook in 2 weeks and maybe they have a small list and or even a big list and they could put these books out there and maybe they wouldn't get anybody to buy or maybe just one or two sales. Why do you think it worked out so well for you in your own words?
I think that my expertise in jazz theory was a huge part of it. The fact that I didn't have to research it at all. I had all of that knowledge mm-hmm. at my fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in your case, Pat, you could probably write a book on all sorts of things with, you know, in the same amount of time. So I'd been studying music theory sort of really intensely for many years, at least 10 years. I'd been reading every book I could find on it. So all the information was fresh in my head. You know, it wasn't a big task to just write that, you know, sit down and write that. It was quite inspired. I really poured my heart out. And I think that's what people really wanted from me, because the first ebook, which I said was just my jazz piano compositions, in comparison, that wasn't very popular. So I think the second ebook I wrote was actually what people had wanted all along, which was a sort of how-to book, you know, instead of just compositions.
Right. Did you do anything to grow your YouTube following, which then, of course, grew your email list at the time? Was there any specific strategies you used, or was it purely just putting these lessons out there and being consistent with it?
Yeah, really, it was the consistency. So I was sort of forced into, I mean, when I released that first ebook, I found myself having to put out a new video every single week just to create enough sales mm-hmm. to pay bills and everything. So really that actually went on beyond the 5 months that I mentioned. It went on for about 12 months in the end. And really that's when most of my channel grew, was when I was just putting out a new video every single Friday. It was a ton of work. I mean, you know, I put out about 50 videos during that first year. So yeah, the consistency is when the channel really grew. The other thing though is that I always ask people to subscribe in every single video.
Right.
I pretty much have a standard call to action at the end, which is, if you enjoyed this video, I'd really appreciate a thumbs up. Leave a comment if you want to request future videos. And if you don't want to miss out on future videos like this, subscribe to my channel. So the fact that I was in the habit of always asking people to subscribe, that's another key reason why my channel was able to grow in subscribers.
Right. I think that's great information. Very easy to do. You just have to know to do those things. And so it's great that you started putting those things into practice right away. Obviously, they paid off for you down the road when you came out with your Jazz Theory book, which is fantastic. Now, about this book, and you said you wrote it in 10 days. And obviously, you knew the content. It was fresh in your mind. But how did you write it? Like, mechanically, how did you write it? How did you write it so fast? And what tools did you use?
I used Pages to write my ebooks. It's really nice, Pages. You know, it's a Mac application. Mm-hmm. And you can create really nice images and visuals. And, you know, I have my own fonts, which I like to use, which are sort of congruent with the videos and my video style. So the whole thing felt very similar to my YouTube video style. And I mapped out a plan for basically 5 sections in the book. Each section had several chapters, often 7 or 8 or 9 chapters. And I basically set myself to finish a section each day, which meant I would just write, you know, all day. Well, not all day, but 2 sort of sit-down sessions where I would just, you know, get a coffee and just pour my heart out on that subject. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those sections were like melody, and then the next section was chords, and then, you know, jazz styles, improvisation, things like that. Yeah, I just made sure that by the time I went to bed, I had finished that first draft of each section. So it was really inspired. So that's 5 sections. I was trying to do it in 5 days. As it happened, it took about 6 or 7 days in the end. Mm-hmm. Usually takes a bit longer than you expect. But yeah, then I just sent that book to my dad, asked him to proofread it. And I started creating images for it because it needed manuscript all throughout. Mm-hmm. With, you know, it's demonstrating this, you know, notation. And somehow I do like a second draft where I just, if in doubt, leave it out. I just ruthlessly cut every single paragraph that doesn't need to be in there, every single sentence that doesn't need to be in there, every single word that doesn't need to be in there. Mm-hmm. And by the time you've done that and you've just cut everything that doesn't absolutely need to be in there, you have a really punchy, sort of concise book. And people just read it and it's just very, you know, a lot of information very quickly. It flows. And yeah, that's been my formula for writing books from then on.
I love it. So it sounds like you've written more.
Yeah, I wrote an ear training book after that.
Nice. So we'll talk about that in a second. Sure. But I love how you've taken this big idea of writing a book. And this is something I continue to struggle with because a book is just a completely different beast for me as opposed to blog posts and other types of content I create. But I'm getting there. I'm waking up every morning. I'm writing about 2,000 to 3,000 words. I'm getting there finally. And it feels really good after you finish and you go to bed, like you said, knowing that you've completed something. You just wake up the next day ready to keep going. So I like how you broke it down and said, okay, every day this is what I'm doing. And I love that. I think that a lot of people could benefit from taking these big projects, whether it's a book or a course or things like that, and breaking them down like you did and just doing it, just getting it done. And then you said, well, you have been doing some other things as well. And you told me in this email that you had you had another kind of quote deadline come up that put the pressure back on you. What was this that you were talking about?
Yeah, I had a little deadline come up again. 8 months ago, Jen and I found out Jen was pregnant. So
congratulations.
Thank you very much. We're about 6 weeks off. And that certainly put the pressure on again. I wouldn't say as much pressure as the first time. You know, that first situation was where I couldn't accept employment was the most pressure I've ever experienced. But this, yeah, overnight, I mean, you find out you're going to have a baby, mm-hmm. your mindset changes overnight. Didn't get much sleep that first night. And yeah, by the next day, though, I mean, it changes your mindset. You're very aware of your time. You're very aware when something's wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed it straight away. So that really pushed me to increase my work rate again. More than work rate is my output rate, because, you know, I can be a perfectionist and things and take a long time doing things. But this really forced me to not be a perfectionist. So I had an ear training course, which had been in the work for a long time, actually. I was sort of, you know, thinking about it now, I was resting on my laurels from this successful ebook, which was doing really well with the YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
I was taking my time with this ear training course. And finding out that you've got a baby due, so, you know, 9 months is a nice amount of time, I would say, to really turn things around. And basically I had this ear training course. I'd filmed it all, but I was taking my time in finding a website developer to create the website for me, because it needed to be on a website, and that's not my skills at all. Very luckily, through a friend, I got put in touch with a guy, Jason, who just did an amazing job. He gave me a quote, though, and it was $6,000 for this website.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite a big risk for me, especially with this baby on the way. I had to think about it for a while. Ultimately, though, you know, he was saying he would, in the contract, he would do it very quickly in 4 weeks, which was a definite plus. And yeah, also when I looked at my previous launches of these ebooks, they'd always done more than $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
And also this ear training course was going to be a more expensive product anyway. So, and plus I didn't have any other alternatives. So I took a slight gamble going with this, paying this amount of money.
Right.
But it totally paid off. He did it so quickly, get on so well with this guy. We were just, you know, same wavelength and everything.
That's good.
And he got it done for me. I did the launch. He was there while I was sending out these emails, you know, because you can expect something to go wrong along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And that launch did really well. I mean, I don't mind sharing figures, but it certainly paid way more than the $6,000 that I spent, you know.
Yeah, great.
It made itself off. So
that's awesome. Can you share how well it did?
Yeah. So this is just the initial launch to my email list. Did 22,000.
Wow.
On the first launch, which for me was like the biggest launch I've done to now. But then really my goal is when I open it up to the YouTube channel and I start promoting it through the free videos, that's mostly where I'm, you know, aiming with it.
Mm-hmm. So you're promoting it at the end of your videos now instead of the older ebooks that you had?
Exactly. I tend to just promote the most recent product. You know, I create the product and then follow up with some free videos on YouTube, which, you know, give a lot away, some really good content. And then just at the end, for people who are still watching, I'll just plug my more premium course. And that's basically what funds the free video making anyway. So I think people sort of understand the business model that, you know, I love doing these free videos. I wish I could do it all the time, but you sort of have to sell some things to fund the whole, you know.
Sure, video making. Of course.
So I think the audience understand that as well.
That's great. I love that. Are those older ebooks still selling, however, because you've had those on the older YouTube videos?
Oddly, they're actually selling better since releasing this ear training course. Perhaps because the ear training course is more expensive, I've wondered if the cheaper ebooks seem like better value or something.
That, I think that's a reasonable theory for sure.
Maybe, yeah.
So I think people are going to be curious when listening to this, what these things look like and where they're at. Can you share the URL to your YouTube channel, for example, and your ear training course?
Absolutely. Yeah. YouTube.com/jazztutorial, one word.
Nice.
Or you can just search jazz tutorial, YouTube or Google. One thing I should say is that I started that channel quite early, back in 2010. And I think it might be different starting a YouTube channel now. I definitely think it's still possible, though. I just think the bar might have been raised now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the early days, you could put anything out and people would watch it.
Right, right. So what would be your advice for people who are putting out a YouTube channel now? I know a lot of people in the audience who do have something similar, not jazz or not even music, but just something where they have an expert knowledge in something and they want to continually come out with this content. What are the things that people can do today to make sure that they are, you know, going to be seen and build their email lists and whatnot and their business on something like YouTube?
Absolutely. I'm teaching music theory. So first of all, that's a certain category of video that I'm putting out. Mm-hmm. is educational. It might be different for other, like if you're doing entertainment, for example, maybe different rules apply. But if you're teaching, I mean, I put myself back in the mindset I had when I was learning music for the first time when I was about 16 years old. You know, I think back to what were the things I was Googling, what were the things I was looking for, what was the exact phrase that I was typing into Google to find out, you know, was it sweet jazz piano voicings? Was it, you know, chord inversion lesson? I'll remember those things that I used to be really, you know, inspired by and trying to find out. And I'll try and make a video on that specific thing that I know I was really interested in. Mm-hmm. Usually it turns out that other people have that same interest. Yeah, and I'll make a specific, I mean, I'll research what's out there already, you know, and then I'll just set myself to explain everything I have to say on that specific topic. Because I've tried it where, you know, you don't quite give everything, or you try to keep it short or really cut it down. Mm-hmm. I've never found that those videos do that well. The best videos for me have been when I've really started from, you know, assuming the person's a beginner, and then just on that one topic, just building them up. You know, if there's any jargon, I'll explain what this term means at the beginning, and I'll just build it up and up and get really advanced, sort of usually 10 to 15 minutes long, mm-hmm. The videos, and I'll just build it up, and it will usually just has a really nice flow of just progression. Yeah. And that's what I'll do. And then I'll give it the title will be the exact search term that I would have searched for as a, you know, 18 year old, mm-hmm. obsessed with music. And, there's I've got some other tips. I guess we can get into them as we go, but that's pretty much the starting point. And then always have a call to action.
Uh-huh.
You know, usually be clear which thing you want people to do at the end.
That's great. I mean, it just seems like you're not even making it super complicated for yourself. You're just putting good stuff out there, doing all the basic things like making sure there's a call to action, being consistent, driving people to your email list. And that's been working really well for you. Cause I know a lot of people who try to get into YouTube or other things, and they worry so much about you know, all these tools and keyword research things, and that stuff can be helpful, but I've seen those things also slow a lot of people down.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, listening to your podcast, sometimes it can feel intimidating when you hear about all these autoresponders and all these complicated things. Mm-hmm. But you can certainly have a really simple business model. I mean, to date, mine has been really simple. It's just make a free video and then plug a, you know, a sort of premium product at the end. And that's been it for a long time.
That's awesome. In terms of taking the knowledge in your head and turning it into a video that is easy to consume and easy to learn from, how difficult was that for you? Did you get any training for that? Or how did you figure out how to best share that information on video?
I think that might be my natural sort of skill that I was sort of like born with.
Is there anything you've learned over time that has made them even better?
Certainly, if you can go through the video once beforehand, usually the second take is the best take. You're much more concise, much more, you know, snappy. Mm-hmm. In my piano lesson sort of videos, I've noticed that getting a really nice balance between talking and playing the piano is where my best videos are, and it's sort of a 50-50 split between talking and then demonstrating and sort of playing the piano really nicely. You know, if I talk too much, then it starts to drag. And if I play too much, then it starts to drag. But there's a sort of nice balance you can get going back and forth between the two.
Very nice. Very nice. You said you had some other tips in mind. Are we kind of hitting around those topics? Can you share what those things are?
Absolutely. So making a video is a lot of work, or it doesn't have to be. You can just film on your iPhone some topics that works. But in my case, making music lessons, you know, a lot of work goes into the audio and making sure the audio is good, then, you know, text and things and writing the notes on the screen. So in my case, making a video takes a lot of time. So when I upload a video, I want to make sure I get the maximum sort of mileage from all of that work that I've done. So there are a few little things that I'm just in the habit of doing generally when I upload a video. Number one, you can create playlists. I don't know if you've seen Pat on your YouTube channel, but it's very easy to create a playlist.
Yes.
Literally just two clicks, I think. And I mean, I might be out of date with this, but certainly this has worked for a while. I know YouTube changes their sort of interface now and then. But what I would do, I mean, I create all these playlists. I've probably got 50 or 60 playlists where, which, you know, I title these playlists with search terms, which I would also look for. So maybe I haven't created a video yet on a topic, but in the meantime, I can at least create a playlist. So in my case, it's things like ear training videos, ear training masterclass, learn to play music by ear, things that people are already searching for. And these playlists do come up in YouTube search. But the other thing is that when you add a video to a playlist, it shows up in people's newsfeed. So there are several things that show up in my subscribers' newsfeed. There's when I upload the video. So I'll do that usually on a Friday. And then maybe I'll wait a couple of days. Then on day three, I'll like that video, which also shows up in people's newsfeed. Mm-hmm. On day four, I'll start replying to comments.
I noticed that. I'm in one of your videos right now, and
oh, yeah?
You are very active. Not super active, like you're not replying to every single one, but you are there responding to questions, and
right.
You're getting a lot of great feedback, too. There's this one person, Ricari, in one of your videos who says, "Oh, snap," and I'm just replacing the word snap with what was there, but it's
something
else. Yeah, right. Everybody says, "Oh, snap, you are so legit. Oh, my God, wow, the best piano teacher I had so far. You were in order. You were like, man, I don't know. You are awesome, man." So these guys are raving about
cool.
you. That's so cool. But
thanks.
I love that you're in there.
Yeah. I mean, it has got less. I mean, now the comments are a lot every day. So I used to try and respond to every single one, but now it's not as much. But certainly when I upload a new video, I'll spend a few days just going through and like replying to three comments a day. And those comments do show up in people's newsfeed on YouTube. So, you know, when you log in on youtube.com, you'll see, oh, this person I subscribe to just liked this video, or they just commented on this video, or they just added this video to a playlist. So, yeah, after uploading a video, that's not the end of it. I'll just get in the routine of just every day doing a little, you know, reply to a comment or add to a playlist. And that's quite easy to do. Obviously, the return on investment in doing that isn't huge, but it's just something you can do very easily. And I tend to do that a lot around Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, because those are my big sort of, I get more views on those days and I get more sales on those days.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also when I do that sort of activity.
I like that. I like how, again, it's this theme of taking things that are big, but then breaking them down, making it easy for you every day. You kind of know what you're going to do. I think it just makes it so much easier for you. And I you had touched on a little bit of just now on you've noticed when you're getting the most sales. So in terms of analytics and stuff, how deep are you getting into that? And what kinds of things are you pulling away from what you're paying attention to?
Sure. I mean, I'm not that tech savvy, but I understand the YouTube analytics, which are very friendly to people who aren't tech savvy.
Mm-hmm.
You can see how many views you get each day. You can see how many subscribers, likes, everything, shares. And then on the other end, I can see the sales on my PayPal. And it tends to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday where most people buy products. And then during the middle of the week, there's a sort of lull.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much the analytics that I do. It's pretty basic.
And keeping it simple.
Yeah, just because that's not really my skill set.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love it. And you even mentioned earlier that you didn't know how to do, you know, to build your own website. So you found somebody to do it. And it was a similar story to me when I first started to do audio for my ebooks. And I had just tried to do it myself. It didn't work out. And I hired somebody, a voiceover person, to read my ebooks for me to then sell them. But even then, it was a little bit, it felt really risky. up front, but I made up for those sales quite quickly. And it just shows you what you can do when you connect with the right people who can fill in those gaps and those weaknesses that you have for you. And it's just kind of, as long as you know you're always providing value to your audience and you have that following, which you have created on YouTube as well and through your email list, you know, it's going to work out for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Any final tips before we finish up? This has been great. I love the, I mean, I just, even in your voice, you're very calm and it's like, wow, it's like, I could do this too, you know? So I feel like that this is going to be a great episode. A lot of people who are just starting out, especially, are going to relate to this too and get inspired by it. But any final tips for people out there who are listening to us right now, Julian?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually have two more.
Okay,
on
great.
My list.
Perfect.
So yeah, again, trying to get as much mileage from each video, which usually takes a lot of time. Something I like to do each year is make a best of video, which is like a compilation of maybe 5 or 10 of my best moments from videos. And that way you can just take, you know, your previous videos, which you already made, and you can put them all together. You can, you know, people who see that top 10 jazz moments of 2015 or whatever, you know, hopefully those clips that you choose are quite intriguing. So they'll watch maybe a two minute clip, and then you put a link, you're like, if you want to watch the rest of that entire video, click here. So that's something I do. I make a best of sort of compilation every now and then.
Like that.
And then the other thing is YouTube ads. Just to let you know that you would have a hard time to make any make a living from YouTube ads. That's not how my business runs. My business runs by selling sort of ebooks and the ear training course. Mm-hmm. There's very little income from those ads.
Oh, you mean the partnership you have with YouTube in terms of like AdSense?
Exactly.
Okay.
The YouTube, yeah.
I thought you meant maybe putting YouTube ads on other videos to drive traffic to your own stuff.
Oh, no, sorry, yeah.
To okay.
The YouTube gives you the choice to put ads at the beginning of your videos.
Right.
So like that skip 5 seconds sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm just saying there's not much income from doing that.
Okay, so you'd rather just kind of make the viewing experience seamless into the call to actions at the end, which is like going to make you more money down the road.
Exactly. Your goal, if you want to do YouTube, I would say, is to create your own product and promote that either at the end of the video or a sort of product placement within the video, or some people even do it at the beginning. That's really you know, how my business runs. I've tried putting on the ads and it's very little, you know, you don't get much. And plus it's very disruptive to people.
It is.
A lot of people have to wait for 5 seconds for you to get $1. And, you know, so for me, I just think you're not making the world a better place when you have those ads on. So I tend to take them off.
Love that. And I love the phrase you mentioned there, because that's something that I've mentioned a long time ago in the podcast. And it's a theme that comes up, you know, just try to make the world a better place. And if it doesn't fit in that theme, it's probably not going to help you in the long run. So, Julian, this has been so fantastic. Thank you for sharing all of this and your story, and congratulations on the success. I mean, you're very close to some things that you didn't want to happen. And I think that definitely pushed you. The baby, of course, you want to happen, but it's just another pressure point is all I was saying. And, you know, I think a lot of us work better under pressure. You know, like me, when I got laid off, it forced me to do certain things that I wouldn't have done otherwise. And I think it's kind of the same way for you. So the big takeaway is, well, what is that thing that we're looking to do, and how can we create those deadlines? I'm not saying you should try and get fired or laid off, or, you know, this baby effect is real. I felt the same thing, but that doesn't mean you should go out and have a baby just to be more productive. But you know what I mean? Like, let's see what we could do to be more productive overall. And I love how you focus on output and things like that. So Julian, thank you so much for your time. And where, once again, can people find out more information about you?
Absolutely. So there's two places. YouTube channel is youtube.com/jazztutorial. I teach music theory, jazz piano, and even a bit of ear training. And then secondly, there's my ear training course. There's a special page I set up. It's themusicalear.com/SPI. And you can get a free ear training ebook there. And you can also watch episode 1 of the ear training course.
Nice. Cool. I'm going to go check it out, because I have relative pitch, but I don't have perfect pitch.
That's actually what I'm teaching. There's perfect pitch, which you're generally born with, and relative pitch, which everyone else can learn. And I have relative pitch, And that's what I teach is relative pitch.
Okay, cool. Because I have somewhat relative pitch, but I can probably improve. So I'm definitely going to check out your course. So Julian, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, Pat.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Julian Bradley, one of you, a listener of the SPI podcast who had taken action and found success and is doing even more now since this recording, which is awesome. You can find him again at themusicalear.com/SPI, actually. And you can check him out as well on YouTube at youtube.com/jazztutorial. Julian, I know you're listening to this. Thank you so much for your time and sharing your story and all the advice as well. You can get the show notes for this episode and all the links we mentioned at smartpassiveincome.com/session183. Also, I want to take a quick moment just to thank you. I don't know if you realize this, but the listeners, have made a massive impact on the direction of where Smart Passive Income has gone. As a result of you, I've been interviewing certain guests that you've recommended. As a result of your recommendations, I've been tackling different topics that are of high interest to you. In addition to that, I created a brand new podcast called Ask Pat, which you may have heard of before. And on that show, I answer voicemail questions from you as well. You can actually check that out at askpat.com. But that wouldn't happen if it wasn't for you. Obviously, Ask Pat, there needs to be questions in addition to my answers in order to make that show a success. And I'm so thankful that it's there. And I have you to thank for that. I also have you to thank for pushing me to create some online courses to help you through a number of the different problems and pains that you might be having with your online business, the scaling of it, just even the start and the process of it. Even though there's a lot of great free information here via the podcast, I know this from my own experience as well, courses can be life-changing because you purchase a course and you are just in that mindset of actually doing that thing that course tells you to do. And I have a number of different courses available to you if that's the kind of thing you need in order to actually finally start getting results and taking action. So I know a number of you have already taken action, which is fine. Like, I'm not trying to push these courses on you, but they are there and available for those of you who would much prefer to get that targeted information and the accountability and the handholding through those processes. So if you want to check out and see all the courses that are available to you, all you have to do is go to smartpassiveincome.com/courses. That's a page that's going to continually grow over time as well. So keep checking back, smartpassiveincome.com/courses. And I look forward to hopefully seeing you there. I also want to give a big and huge shout out to athleticgreens.com. You may have heard me talk about this before. I first heard about this company hearing them sponsor Tim Ferriss's show. I listen to Tim's podcast all the time. He had talked about Athletic Greens, how he uses it every day. I've incorporated it into my morning routine. It's an important part of my day because it helps fuel me. It gives me the greens I need. It's sort of like what Tim Ferriss calls health insurance, but not in the form of, that we traditionally know, but the kind you ingest, because it really gives you what you need to help fuel you throughout the day. And you can actually check it out for 50% off right now. It's a limited time offer for SPI listeners. Get on over to athleticgreens.com/SPI and you'll get it for 50% off for a limited time only. Again, it just helps fuel me throughout the day, keeps me energized, and it's exactly how I want to start my day. And it's actually great tasting too. It's, I've tried a lot of green supplements before and protein powders and stuff. This one actually tastes really well. So again, athleticgreens.com/SPI, and you can see what that's all about. Thank you again for listening in. I appreciate you, and I can't wait to serve you in next week's episode where we bring on a guest who is a fan favorite here in the show, Derek Halpern, to talk more about some psychological strategies you can use to actually get people to click on links and actually open those emails that you send out. So look forward to that in episode 184. In the meantime, head on over to the blog. Let me know what you think. smartpassiveincome.com/session183. That'll get you access to all the links and resources mentioned here in this episode. smartpassiveincome.com/session183. Thank you guys. I appreciate you, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Hey there, and thanks for sticking around to the end. If you're looking for more great shows like this one, definitely give How Success Happens a listen, another great show from the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. On How Success Happens, Robert Tuchman features some of today's brightest entrepreneurial minds talking about overcoming challenges and viewing them as learning experiences to create success. The challenges that entrepreneurs face are ultimately what make many of us successful, however we define success, and that's what the show is all about.
There's lots of names you'll surely recognize in the show every single week. Just recently, Robert had Nasty Gal CEO Sophia Amoruso on the show and the former CEO of Snapple the week before that, which is really awesome. So listen to How Success Happens right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.